Well, good evening, church. It's good to see you all this evening. We have some guests with us again this evening, so we're thankful that you're here. And if you want to go ahead and open up your Bibles, we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 19. We may start in chapter 18 just a little bit, but we'll be chapter 18 and 19 for most of tonight. And talking about this issue of spiritual burnout. You know, I think that we all have the capacity for burnout in our walk with God. But if we stay focused, stay resilient, and do good, we can recover and we can find long-lasting and eternal joy and fulfillment in Jesus. Last week, I got to spend all week at a camp. We came back one day, Scott and I. But we spent most of the week at a camp, Bible camp in New Jersey. And for those of you all that have never experienced something like that, I grew up going to camps like that whenever I was younger, and I spent the last few years as a counselor at those camps. And it's a great opportunity, a week where a bunch of young people can get together, and we can all sing together, and we can pray together, and we can study God's Word together. And it's very encouraging, very uplifting, very helpful for everyone involved, all of the teachers, all of the kids that get to do that. But what I've noticed in my life and in my experience in doing that, when I was a camper, when I've been a counselor and different things like that, is oftentimes whenever that week is over, I leave that week feeling recharged, ready to go. I have all these plans, all these different things that I'm ready to do and kind of ready to take on the world. And I get back home, and after a short period of time, I just feel exhausted and worn out and burned out and just tired. And it's almost kind of like a match. Whenever you light a match and you strike a match, it's that immediate kind of ignition and intense heat that comes with it. And after not too long, there's just kind of a smoldering stump that's left. And that's how I've felt sometimes in Christianity. And I know other people have felt that sometimes in their walk with God, where everything's going great, everything's wonderful, and then kind of almost out of nowhere, it seems like you're just empty. And the emptiness just seems really overwhelming. And I think that there's an example of that in the Bible, and we're going to talk about that. But maybe some other ways to label this idea. If maybe you don't know what I'm feeling like, but we could also maybe define this feeling of spiritual burnout as maybe a type of heart numbness. Heart numbness. Have you ever felt anything like that? You don't have to raise your hand, but does that make sense, heart numbness, when I say that? Where you just feel almost nothing sometimes in life. And that can be a really difficult place to be and a really hard place to get out of when you get in that situation. And I think that's what happens with Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. And it follows right on the heels of what happens in chapter 18. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah, in one of the most famous stories about Elijah, he is called by God at the beginning of the chapter in verse 1. The word of the Lord comes to Elijah in the third year saying, "Go and show yourself to Ahab, and then I will send rain upon the earth." And so there's been this drought in Israel. And that's happened because of the evil in Israel, largely due to Ahab. And Elijah has said that there's not going to be any rain in Israel at all. And the Lord says it's going to end now. And you need to go and confront Ahab and confront the prophets of Baal. And there's this big showdown on Mount Carmel. You all know the story where Elijah proposes what to do. And I love how he says it down in verse 21. Elijah comes to all the people of Israel when they've gathered on Mount Carmel. And he says, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And so then he proposes almost kind of a test between Baal and God. And he says, "Let's offer two sacrifices. You all get your sacrifice and I'll have my sacrifice. We'll put them on the altar, but we won't put fire to them. And we'll call on our respective gods. And whoever answers with fire, that's God." And so if Baal answers with fire, he's God. If God answers with fire, if Jehovah answers with fire, he is God. And you notice that next verse in chapter 18, in verse 21, the people did not answer him a word at the beginning. They don't answer him. They kind of want to see what's going to happen. And so there's this big scene where the prophets of Baal, they're calling on Baal and they're cutting themselves and really making fools of themselves all day. And Baal doesn't answer, being the big piece of rock or wood or whatever that he was. He doesn't answer. And then Elijah says, "Okay, now it's my turn." And he calls on the Lord. But before he does that, he makes it a little bit more impossible. He says, come and bring and drench the sacrifice in water. And they do that three times. And they pour water on it three times. And it's totally saturated. And there's a trench around the altar. And there's just water everywhere. And Elijah gets down on his knees and he prays. And the Lord answers with fire. And in verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed and the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust. And it licked up the water and that was in the trench. And then all of the people saw it and they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And then Elijah said, seize the prophets of Baal and let no one of them escape. And they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there. And so there's this great victory that Elijah has and that God has here in this moment where people are praising God and everything is looking great, and it's this wonderful moment for God and for this prophet of God. And then we get to chapter 19 and verse 1. And Ahab, the king, told Jezebel, his wife, all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. And then he was afraid, and he arose and he ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. And then skipping down to verse 9, there he came to a cave and he lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And so we see this picture right after this great victory that Elijah has. His life is threatened by Jezebel, and he's very discouraged. And he runs off into the wilderness, and they're seeking his life, and he keeps saying over and over, I'm alone, I'm the last one, and I've done enough, and it's just too much for me now, and just take my life now. I think at this moment, Elijah is just burned out of all the things that are happening in his life. And so I want to look at this story and see some of the early signs of burnout. What we're going to do this evening is look at some tells that burnout is maybe happening in your life. And then the destructive nature of the burnout. Why burnout, spiritual burnout, is so devastating and why we need to be watching out for it. And then finally, we'll wrap it all up with looking at how to beat spiritual burnout and how God has said that that can be beat in our lives. So some early signs of burnout, three things. First, I think if you realize and take an honest assessment of your life, and you realize that maybe you're doing things for the admiration or for the acceptance of other people rather than God, that can be an early sign that spiritual burnout is coming. And so here's what I mean by that. Back in chapter 19, Elijah has just done all of these great things, and Jezebel has confronted him. And she said, I'm going to kill you, and if I don't do this by tomorrow, may the gods do worse to me. And so he's being threatened. And then he's afraid in verse 3, and he runs for his life, comes to Beersheba. He leaves his servant, and he goes into the wilderness, and he sits down under a tree, and he says, God, it's enough. Take my life now. Now, I want to ask you a question. Based on chapter 18, God tells Elijah in chapter 18 that he needs to go and confront Ahab, and that he needs to go and confront the prophets of Baal. And Elijah does that, and he has this great victory. Do you think at the end of chapter 18 that God is pleased with what Elijah has done? I think God is pleased with what Elijah's done. He's done exactly what God has told him to do. He said, go and confront the king, go and confront the prophets, and he has this great victory. But then there's one person, there's Jezebel, who isn't really pleased with what's happening with Elijah and what Elijah has done. And Elijah lets that completely destroy his motivation and completely discourage him, that one person. You know, I think that can happen in our lives sometimes, that we're more concerned with how people perceive what we're doing and less concerned with how God perceives what we're doing. And that can lead us to be burned out very quickly in our lives. That can happen with our motivations for teaching. Whenever I was younger, I had a number of teachers that I would sit in Bible class at, and I really admired them and I really appreciated them. And it can be a temptation sometimes for people that you want to go and teach because you also want to be admired or appreciated by people rather than just do it because God has instructed us to teach. Or you can go and serve people just to be noticed and feel that. Or you can want to study with people so that you'll be appreciated. And whenever that appreciation doesn't come, or whenever some kind of opposition comes, it can lead us to be discouraged in that. And I think maybe that might be what's happening with Elijah, because he's done a lot of good. And the people of Israel, at the end of chapter 18, they're saying that the Lord is God. But Elijah is still so far down now that he's so discouraged, he wants his life to end. You know, it's really easy to maybe be, I guess, successful in church and not really try for the right reasons. And what I mean by that is we can go through the motions and we can teach people and do good things, but we can fall miserably short of being pleasing to God sometimes. That's been happening for generations, for years. Jesus called them hypocrites whenever he was in the world. And living the life of a hypocrite can quickly lead to being burned out spiritually. And so if we're doing things just to be seen by other people and to get that approval, it can quickly lead to us being burned out and going on empty in our tanks. And that can also lead us to, I think, the second thing in 1 Kings 19, of just running into isolation and leaving people. In verse 3, whenever Elijah's afraid and he's running away from Jezebel and he goes to Beersheba, at the last thing that's said in verse 3 is he left his servant there. Then in verse 4, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And then you get to verse 10, and this is how Elijah is perceiving what's going on. He's saying, all these things are happening. I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Sometimes we can force ourselves into isolation whenever things are not looking as well as we think that they should. And you know the rest of the story. God comforts Elijah in one of the last verses in this section. In verse 18, God says, "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, and all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that have not kissed him." And so there's 7,000 people still in Israel that Elijah doesn't know about that haven't bowed down to Baal. And so he's not alone. And he also meets Elisha at the end of the chapter. And then Elisha starts working with him. But in that moment where we just feel so alone and so away from people, we're quick to want to separate ourselves from people whenever things start going bad. I think, you know, there's an inherent risk sometimes in asking the simple question, how are you doing? Because when we ask that question for someone, we might not like the answer that we get. We might not want to go down that conversation. Because I think we've been kind of socially conditioned to make the answer to that question really short and really simple and kind of be concealed so that we don't get too open and have that relationship with people. And that can just completely destroy someone's life spiritually. It can completely burn us out when we isolate ourselves and get completely away from people. And that's one of the things that God does for Elijah. Whenever he's feeling this way, feeling really discouraged, he sends him to Elisha and says, go and get someone to be with you. And Elisha ends up working with him throughout the rest of his life until he's transported on the mountain. But we need people in our lives. And running into isolation and separating yourself from people will quickly let you run on empty in our lives. And then I think maybe the last thing that can be an early sign of burnout is having a lack of interest in, or maybe more accurately, a lack of focus on God. When Elijah is feeling this way and he's feeling really discouraged and he's telling the Lord that he's the only one that's left and he's been doing all that he can, the Lord's answer is really, really interesting to me, what the Lord says. In verse 11 of 1 Kings 19, the Lord answers him and he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." So he says, you need to go out and stand before the Lord. And here's what happens to Elijah. "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice that said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" It's a really interesting story of what happens. But what I think is going on here, and what God is trying to show Elijah, is that Elijah has been very distracted in everything in his life, and he's not focusing on the things that he needs to focus on. And so it almost seems like God is showing what's happening by sending this great wind and this great earthquake and this great fire and all these things. But the Lord's not in any of those. There's just the whisper that comes and God talking to Elijah. And it's almost as if it seems that the Lord is saying, you need to not be focused on everything that's going wrong and focus on me. Just focus on the Lord in your life. I think that can be a leading cause for feeling burned out in our lives as Christians. We lose focus on God. And we start being distracted by all the things that are going on in our lives, all of the bad things and all of the bad things that people are doing and all the things that don't go exactly how we planned them to go. And we begin to feel really burned out because we just forget God. That's one of the main issues that gets brought up in a lot of the prophets when God is speaking about Israel. He says, "My people don't even know me. They don't remember me." That can happen really easily in our lives. It's not that we forget God or we forget His power or we forget His character or what He's capable of, but He's not in the focus of our lives. And so then we can become discouraged, we can become overwhelmed, and we can just go down to empty. And that'll be it. And that can be so destructive in our lives, and it really affects so many different parts of our lives, and more than I have up here, but just a quick list of all the different areas of your life that can be touched by being spiritually burned out. All right, your family and your friends, your relationships with people can suffer whenever you get into spiritual burnout. Right, your relationships will be strained. It'll be hard for the people that are friends with you and your family to deal with that, and you'll start to grow away from those people if you allow yourself to be consumed by that. Or in your church, in the church here, when we're burned out, that can be difficult or hard. Or in our work ethic and different things in work will suffer because we're burned out and we're just running on empty. And that will suffer in our lives and our relationships with our coworkers. And in school, in our work with school and our schoolwork and things that we're doing, we'll suffer from feeling this burned out feeling of just exhaustion and being completely overwhelmed. Or our mental capacity. Or I felt like this a lot whenever I get really exhausted and just really burned out, like I can't go anymore, that I just can't fit anything else in my head, and my head feels like it's about to explode. Have you ever felt like that? That you just feel like if you put anything else in or try to put anything else on your plate, it's just going to be too much and that's going to be the end. And you start to feel burned out because of that, because you just can't handle it all. And so that leads to your emotional stability going down the drain. Whenever I feel like this sometimes, and maybe some of y'all can relate, when I feel like this sometimes, feel overwhelmed or feel burned out, what my response is a lot of the times is I just break down and start crying. And I could cry for hours sometimes, just hours straight. I don't know if anyone's ever experienced that, but it's hard. And it seems like all of your emotions just like the dam breaks and everything spills out. And it's a hard place to be. And then maybe we start losing our compassion for other people. Whenever you feel like that, that can be really dangerous, to lose your compassion and your care for other people. But you become so numb, so desensitized to people because you just feel alone and empty. And this type of thing can be so destructive. And because ultimately what it's doing is it's robbing you of the promises that God has given His people. God has promised that His people will have joy, they'll have peace, they'll have comfort, and they'll be able to enjoy all of those things in this life. We get those when we get to heaven. We get that perfect rest when we get to heaven. But God says we can have that now, in this life. And what spiritual burnout does is it steals those things from you. It steals the life from you, it steals the joy from you, and you live your life kind of like an empty shell in that way. And that's just a hard place to be, and it's so destructive. But the Bible doesn't end with stories like that where people feel that way and they feel burned out and they're just defeated and God just kind of stands on the sidelines and doesn't do anything about it. There are ways to beat that type of life and that type of feeling that come into our lives. And so I want to suggest, I think, six things that I have here, and two of them from the text here, on things we need to remind ourselves of and things that we need to do in order to beat burnout, to get over this feeling that we have of just total exhaustion, total emptiness, and be more fulfilled in our lives and to praise God and glorify Him in that way. And so one of the first things, the first two will be in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, then we're going to turn away to other passages. But one of the first things I think that we need to realize is we need to realize that spiritual burnout is very, very closely connected to physical burnout. And so here's what I mean by that. In chapter 19 of 1 Kings, Elijah, whenever he leaves, he goes into the wilderness in verse 4, and he goes a day's journey into the wilderness, and he comes and sits down under a broom tree, and then he asks God to take his life, and in verse 5, and he lay down and slept under a broom tree. So he walks all this way, a day's journey, and the first thing he does is he just almost kind of passes out in exhaustion and sleeps. And then an angel comes to him and touches him, and he says, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, and there at his head there was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water, and he ate and drank and lay down again. And so the picture I get of Elijah is he's just totally physically wiped out. Totally wiped out. And then a second time, The angel of the Lord comes to him, and he touched him, and he says, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. And I think that's a really obvious thing, but something that's important to point out. That if you're physically exhausted, there's a good chance that spiritual exhaustion is coming very soon. There are sometimes that it's unrelated to spiritual burnout, but there are sometimes, you all have heard the phrase, "I'm feeling really hangry now." When you're really hungry and it leads you to the point where you're just angry at everything until you get that food again. I think that can be a very real problem for Christians. Not just feeling hungry, but just being exhausted in general. Having sleep deprivation can be detrimental to our spiritual lives. Being not taking care of ourselves and feeding ourselves. God designed our bodies in a very specific way, in a very intricate way. And we need to take care of those bodies so that we can use them to glorify God in our spiritual lives. And when we don't take care of ourselves physically, the repercussions aren't just physical repercussions. We'll be too exhausted to be spiritually effective for God. And that's one of the first things that God does for Elijah here. Before he fixes all the other problems and leads him to Elisha and gives him his task that he needs to do, he provides for his physical needs. He says, "Don't forget you need to eat and you need to sleep and you need to be physically recuperated to beat this feeling that you're having." And then secondly, I think we need to learn to value sincere connections with people. There at the end of 1 Kings 19, starting in verse 19 and through the end of the chapter, we're not going to read that, but Elijah goes and he gets Elisha. And so God tells him that he feels alone. Elijah says, I'm alone, I'm the only one that's left, and they're trying to kill me. And God says, "No, you're not. There's 7,000 other people, and there's Elisha. And you need to go and get Elisha, and Elisha will come with you." And in the last sentence in the chapter, it says, "Then he, being Elisha, arose, and he went after Elijah and assisted him." And so Elijah spends the rest of his life on this earth with a companion that's there with him. Now, I have to admit to you that this is really hard for me. I think that I'm kind of an extrovert. I'm more extroverted than introverted, at least. I have some introverted qualities, but I'm mostly extrovert. But it's hard for me sometimes to develop those sincere, real, deep connections with people. I know a lot of people that really kind of struggle with that, to have those deep connections. One person that I know doesn't struggle with that, and that I really look up to and respect, and some of you all know him, is Gary Fisher. If you know Gary Fisher, anything about Gary Fisher, you know that Gary doesn't have any problems with developing relationships with people. It's one of his gifts that he has, one of those talents. He's very talented in that way. And I remember in talking with Gary, one of the first things that you feel from Gary, whenever I talked with him, I think the first time I had like a really serious sit-down conversation with Gary was when I was about maybe 11 or 12. And the first thing that I noticed, even at that young of an age, is that I could just tell immediately that Gary really loved me. And that's so valuable in overcoming spiritual burnout for people. Knowing that there are people in your lives that just really genuinely love and care for you. And that they're there for you and that you're not alone. That's one of the main complaints that Elijah has in this chapter. That he's alone, there's no one else. And God reminds him, "No, you're not." And so we need to be willing to step out of our comfort zones and to go and make those relationships with people. And I think that needs to be face-to-face relationships. Right, social media, I think, is great, and it's a wonderful tool that we can use for a lot of different things. There's a lot of garbage on social media, but it's really helpful to use to stay connected with people that you don't see on a day-to-day basis. But there's something really, really valuable that social media can't give you, and that's being in the same room with someone else that you can share time with and you can share experiences with and you can hold and embrace and have a shoulder to cry on and those kind of things. You can't get that from social media. And I think that people need that. People really need that type of relationship with people. And when you look around, like, look around this room, there are lots of people here that can do that for each other. And we need to be devoted to valuing those sincere connections with each other so that we can grow together and help each other whenever we start to feel that burnout. And whenever someone asks you that question, "How are you doing?" you don't have to be concealed and just kind of sit silently in your struggles and slowly just get all the way down to empty and you're going on fumes, but you don't tell anyone about it. But when someone asks you that question, you have someone that you can tell and that can help you and that can refuel you back up and be there with you. That's what Elijah had with Elisha and what God gave him with Elisha. And I think that's what we need in our lives also to help us overcome that. Then number three, we need to not look for rewards, but just serve other people. In Proverbs 22 in verse 9, it says, "Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor." Or whoever has a giving nature will be blessed. Paul says, and Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. We're going to talk about that again here in just a second. But I think that principle is really important in overcoming burnout. If we're just looking for rewards in our life and for acceptance and for admiration in our life, it's going to be really easy to go to empty and to lose our motivation and to be discouraged when those rewards don't come. I think it's so vital for God's people to get their joy and fulfillment just from serving people and just being a servant. That should be our source of joy, one of our sources of joy, not from what we get things from or the things that we get out of serving people. And I think this is particularly hard for teachers. And so I want to be really transparent with you all. What I think is people that are most danger of spiritual burnout are people who receive the most praise. I think that that's a serious danger for people. And I know that's a serious danger for me sometimes. I'm very thankful, and I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm very thankful to be a part of this church, a part of this family, and to be so encouraged by you all. And so whenever I preach or whenever I teach a class and having those conversations after the lesson with you all and how that was really helpful for some of you all, or talking about some points and you all telling me that I'm doing a really good job and I'm really appreciated, I really, really love that, and I'm very thankful for that. But I want to be transparent and tell you that there's kind of an inherent danger in doing that with people. Because you can get to the point where if that stops, or if that doesn't happen, or if that seems a little bit less, you can quickly get burned out from that. And so, again, I want to be really clear. I'm very thankful that that happens here. And I know that that can be a source of burnout for other people, where you're not getting those instant rewards. And it just seems like, what's the point now? But if we have our reward being just serving people and following the footsteps of what Jesus did and how he lived his life, think about the life of Jesus. When Jesus came to the earth, was he appreciated by everyone? No. Well, was he admired by everyone? No. There were great crowds that would follow him at some times, but he wasn't admired all the time. He wasn't appreciated all the time. But what was his purpose in coming? In Mark 10, verse 45, it says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." You think Jesus found joy and fulfillment in that? I know that he did, based on some things that we can read in the scriptures, and we're going to read one of those verses later on. But if we follow in those footsteps and we make our joy serving people, we can avoid that feeling of being burned out in our lives when the rewards don't immediately come. And so checking our motivations, making sure we're not looking for the rewards, but just serving people. Number four, I think developing resilience in our life will help us to beat burnout. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, when Paul kind of gives his athletic metaphor for Christianity, in verse 24 he says, "Do you not know that in a race all of the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." You know, sometimes in life, and one thing to make really clear with all of these that we're gonna go over, doing these things and engaging in these things doesn't mean that you'll never feel burned out in your life. These are ways to help overcome burnout and overcome that feeling. But sometimes in life, life just gets hard, and what we need to do is just put our head down and keep moving forward despite all the bumps and bruises that we're going to get in our lives. And developing that resilience and just deciding today that we're not going to quit and we're going to keep going no matter how hard life gets. One of the things that I really, really love about Franz is that was a quality that Franz had. Put his head down and keep going no matter all the bumps and bruises that might come. And deciding, I'm not going to quit. The times that I went to go and visit Franz in the last few months of his life, he would share with me some things that were really hard in his life. And Franz had a lot of hard things to deal with. But how our conversations would always end is he would say something along the lines of, "I'm not finished yet. And I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep trusting in God. I'm going to keep doing my best, even though it gets hard sometimes. Even though I feel lonely sometimes. Even though I feel like I'm not strong enough sometimes, I'm going to keep going." And that's so important to develop that in our lives, to overcome burnout, to just make that decision, I'm not going to quit. You know, Paul, whenever you read 2 Corinthians, in the first chapter in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells the Corinthians about a time whenever he was so despaired that he was despairing of life itself, and that it looked like it was the end for him. And he was going through a really tough time. And you get to chapter 11 in 2 Corinthians, and he lists all of the things in his life that Paul had to deal with, being stoned and being beaten and being shipwrecked and being in fear night and day of people all the time. And on top of all of that, he had his anxiety for the churches. And Paul had a tough life to deal with. And I'd imagine that Paul felt pretty burned out sometimes. In reading 2 Corinthians, I think that's really obvious. But you get to the end of Paul's life. And whenever he's writing to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is what Paul says about his life and how he finished his life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come, so I'm going to die soon." And here's Paul remembering his life. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me also, but to all who have loved his appearing." One thing that Paul did in his life, and that every successful Christian has done in their life, is when life gets hard, they put their head down and they keep moving forward because they remember the goal and they remember, I can't quit. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to be resilient no matter what happens in my life. And developing that attitude, it's easier said than done. And all of these kind of play on each other. Having relationships with people plays really heavily into that attitude of having people help you keep that attitude of not quitting. But it's so important to develop resilience in our lives. Number 5 is to do right even when you don't want to. I think this one is really important. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul says to the Galatians, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for we will reap of what we have done in due season if we do not give up or if we do not quit in those things." Sometimes we grow weary of doing good. Paul says, don't let that happen. And I understand, sometimes whenever you feel this way, you just don't want to do anything that's good. But we need to. Just do it. In spite of how we feel. Go to church. Read your Bible. Go and serve people. Go and visit people that you know you need to go and visit. Because all of us, I think, know some people that could use some visiting or some encouragement. Go and encourage people. That's one of the best things you can do when you're feeling down, is go and help someone else that's also feeling down. And so go and do things, even when you feel like not doing it. One of the problems that Elijah had whenever he was feeling really discouraged is he was really focused on what other people weren't doing and how other people were being discouraging. And the Israelites were tearing down the altars and they weren't worshiping God. And he was focusing on all the evil that was happening. And it was discouraging because there was a lack of good that Elijah was seeing. A good way to fix that, of having a lack of good in your life, is to create good in your life. And so if we do that and we go and do good things, there'll be more good things to dwell on and to see in our lives, and it'll help us overcome this feeling of being discouraged and burned out in our lives. And then the last one we're going to talk about is understanding your true worth to overcome burnout. And I word that in a specific way, understanding your true worth, because this is a common thing in like self-help type of psychology and philosophy, and how it's often worded in those kinds of formats is you need to value yourself more, or you need to think better of yourself. And that's just not true, because frankly, it doesn't matter what you think about yourself. It matters what God thinks about you. And so understanding your true worth will help overcome spiritual burnout. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul says, "You have been bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." That price was Jesus. And God bought us with that huge price because of how God feels about us, about each individual person in here. In Matthew chapter 10, here's what Jesus had to say about the value of people in God's eyes. In chapter 10 of Matthew, in verse 29, he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs on your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." God values people, values individual people, the people in this room individually, so much that he gave his Son to die on the cross for us. And that wasn't so that we could run around feeling burned out and discouraged and sad all the time. God put a huge value on us, and we need to use that and understand that to help us get through life. Because sometimes we do feel burned out. Sometimes I feel burned out. Sometimes I feel discouraged. But whenever I think about how much God cares for me and how much God has done for me, it kind of pales in comparison to the discouragement that I'm feeling. And it's almost like I'm overwhelmed with that love that God has for me. And so these are just some quick things and some important things to remember to help overcome and to beat burnout. And these aren't all of the things. It's not an exhaustive list of things to do to help overcome that. And I think really all of these can kind of be summed up in three different ways. It can be summed up as just in your life deciding that you're just going to serve. You're just going to serve people. You're just going to serve God. That you're just going to do good. And that you're just going to love. Love God and love people. And if you decide you're going to do those three things, that no matter what, you're going to do good, you're going to serve, and you're going to love, it'll be really hard to stay burned out all the time. And so my prayer for this church and for myself is this, the prayer that Paul prays for the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 11, Paul says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." Life gets hard sometimes. It gets really difficult sometimes, and sometimes we feel burned out. And that can be from a variety of different things in our life, but it can lead to that spiritual burnout that we feel. And that's a devastating place to be, a hard place to be. But it's not where we have to stay. And there are ways to get out of it, and God has given us ways to get out of those feelings. And so if there's somebody here, and I hope that there's not, but if there's someone here that's feeling that way, I hope that that's helpful for you to hear that. And that's not the end-all, be-all of feeling that way. And maybe the reason why, one of the most important reasons and things to think about when we're feeling like that, is realizing the example that we have in Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 11, whenever the writer goes through that long list of people who have lived their life of faith and they've been following God, and they've in their way kind of beaten the spiritual burnout that maybe some of them experienced through the faith that they had in God, he gets to chapter 12, and this is what he says at the end of verse 1. He says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." When we look at Jesus, and we see the life of Jesus, and we see what Jesus has done for us, and we start to realize that we need Jesus, and that the good news is Jesus is there for us, feeling burned out is a lot easier to deal with, I think, for me and for everyone else in this room. And so if you felt that way, if you felt burned out, there are people here that are willing to help you. Above all, God is there for you. God is willing to help you, and Jesus is there for you and willing to help you. But we have a room full of people that are willing to help you and pray with you and to be there for you and help you through those times. And so this evening, if you need the help of this congregation, or if this evening you need to respond to the gospel and give your life over to God and be baptized into the death of Jesus and start your walk with him, we ask you to do that now and come forward while we stand and sing this hymn.